Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I'm opening today's episode of Tuesday Night Jaw with a content warning. Today, we're going to be talking about the speaking out movement. And as such, that's going to include really sensitive subjects like sexual harassment, sexual assault, or rape of adults, abuse of young people, children. I just want to be sure to remind you to pause or stop listening entirely if you need to. All that matters is that you take care of yourself. I'm going to pin some links to support resources over on Twitter. You can find me there, I'm at Bozzers. If you're sticking around, we'll get into the episode. If you're dipping out on this one, I just want you to know I support you. I hear you. Believe victims. Let's go. Hiya, Bab. How's it going? Welcome to Tuesday Night Jaw. I'm your new host, Bozzers, and if you missed the memo on that, it's worthwhile listening to last week's episode in which former host Matt Richards hands that mantle to me. And well, I can't wait to talk about all the really brilliant stuff that comes with wrestling. The storylines, the madness, the history, interviews with talent, all that kind of fun stuff. Before I can do that, I need to acknowledge the very real pain that's been felt in our community. And I also feel like internally, I've got to start asking myself some serious questions about what I want to see from wrestling going forward. Not in a storyline sense, nothing to do with championships, but to do with the way that those organisations are run and how they'll protect other wrestlers, fans, staff from abuse. And the reason I've had to ask those questions, if you're not privy to that information yet, is that in June, we saw a speaking out movement spark into motion. And all kinds of people within wrestling, fans, performers, they really bravely shared their experiences of abuse at the hands of trainers, other wrestlers, promoters, other people within the industry. And it was really awful to see. It was awful to see as a fan, and it was pretty traumatic to experience as someone that has experienced abuse firsthand. I'm hoping that what it's done is spark a seismic shift within wrestling. And we're seeing it already. We've seen promotions showing clear codes of conduct. We've seen them showing safeguarding policies. And we've seen Equity, which is a union, call for wrestling companies to pledge and promise to make wrestling safer. There's a bunch of information. I'll be sure to share that information in the description of this podcast. So hopefully you'll be able to click on those links and read further, because I think further research does need to be done. Because first and foremost, I need to say that this podcast isn't a lesson. I'm not here to teach you anything. I'm not here to tell you what you should be asking from promotions. I'm not here to tell you that you're wrong if those things don't matter to you. all I'm here to do is open that conversation if it's not one that you've had with people already. So whether you want to chat to me about it over on Twitter, or whether you want to chat to your friends in wrestling about it, I want us to ask what it is that we want to see from wrestling to make it safer so that people aren't abused, because the situation has been pretty diabolical. And I can't help but feel that if there was more secure policies in place, if there were rules and codes, then a lot of what's happened might not have happened. The thing to remember with this is, and this is something that scares me, to be honest, we've got no overarching boss of wrestling. There's nobody to tell promotions what they should and shouldn't be doing. There's no one to say to training schools, this is what you need to have in order to prove that you're safe. So while a martial arts school has a code of conduct that people have to adhere to, wrestling doesn't have that. It's a bit of a free-for-all. And I can't help but feel that that has played into this culture of abuse. It's been great to see the way that people have taken the speaking out movement seriously. What I'm going to do is just cast my eye over the map at what different promoters and different promotions have said that they're going to do going forward to make wrestling a safer place. So I'll just cast my eye across the map, starting up at ICW in Scotland. At the time of recording this, they'd said that they were assuring fans they would investigate allegations of misconduct. This was quite early on in the speaking out movement, so it was around June the 22nd. They said that they would be creating two new roles of talent welfare officers, and they added that they'd be putting a selection of their staff and roster members on a positive Mental Health Scotland course to become qualified mental health first aiders. Obviously, that stuff's wicked, and hopefully in practice it will be really beneficial. What they're doing to help fans that have been affected by speaking out, or what policies they're going to put in place at the time of recording, hasn't yet been announced. So if I've got any other information, you may find that future editing bozzers pops in and adds information. But at the time of recording this, that's all we've had from ICW. Further down the map in Liverpool, Fighting Spirit, which is the promotion run by James Drake and Zach Gibson. They're a WWE tag team, I'm sure you know. They've got a training school, and quite early on, they shared their code of conduct and safeguarding policies for trainees. Worth going and checking that out. And I would say that for all of your local promotions, go to your local promotion and see what steps they're taking before you consider taking money out of your pocket and supporting them. Hopefully, when coronavirus, I mean, this seems flippant saying it now, considering at the time of recording this, all of the North pretty much has been locked down again. But if promotions in the wake of coronavirus, I don't know when you're listening to this, start to open up again, it's just really important taking a look at what they're doing. And that's what this conversation, I hope today, will be. A look at what those things actually mean, things like the code of conduct or safeguarding or whatever, in practice. And just getting a handle on how you feel about it, what you feel comfortable with, and what you need personally in order to feel comfortable spending that money. Just going back to the map then, Future Shock in the Northwest on June the 22nd, they assured fans that they'd be revising their safeguarding policies. We yet to see them, but good to know that they're working on it. Fight Club Pro, I've had a bit of a blackout since the speaking out movement began. They said that no training or shows would happen until every aspect of safety is addressed with relevant authorities and implemented. That was the last we heard from them. I know that they refunded the remaining season ticket cost for the rest of the year for their fans. And as far as I know, we've got no shows coming up for the rest of 2020. Over in Wales, Dragon Pro announced that they would be investigating matters further, and they shared some important resources for people that were affected, which I thought was really helpful. It'll be interesting to see what happens with Dragon Pro going forward, and I'll probably say that for every promotion, because it will. It'll be interesting to see how things progress with them. Now, Progress Wrestling down in London, they're one of the biggest promotions in the UK. After a few pretty glaring missteps at the start, they brought in a new management team, and it does seem that they've been doing loads of work behind the scenes, because they came out this week, so last week at the time of you listening to this, with a super detailed blog. They linked to documents for fans to consider. They had a manifesto, safeguarding policy, a whistleblowing policy, codes of conduct for talent and referees and crew. And they also had an audience policy as well. So lots to read and digest over there. RevPro, who also run shows in London, they haven't released a raft of documents for us to check out yet. I'm hoping that that does come, because I from personal perspective, I think that wrestling needs that. I think that fans need that, just to know that that's happening. But promoter Andy Quilden did give quite a few details on his concerns for British wrestling and the safety of British wrestling in a recent podcast. It's since been retracted in parts, as I understand it, by its publisher. There were some pretty fatal errors in that that weren't necessarily, as far as I'm aware, related to Andy's approach. I think it was more the podcasters had included some information that shouldn't have been there. What Andy did say is that he wanted promoters involved in the industry discussions going forward. And a writer on Twitter asked Andy how we could get more information on RevPro's approach in a digestible way that didn't involve sitting through this mega podcast. Andy did reply and say that a full short-form breakdown of actions would be provided, and he added that RevPro would be publishing its codes of conduct. So at the time of recording this, we don't have those yet. If Future Bozzers has got anything to add, I'll leave a breather for her here. And if not, then we haven't got any further information on that at the time of this going live. Elsewhere in the country, Riptide down in Brighton, they announced an indefinite hiatus. They said that a huge amount of work was to be done if they intend to operate shows in a truly safe environment, so it'll be worth seeing what happens with them. And OTT over in Ireland, they released a statement to say that they commended the bravery of people choosing to speak out. They said that they would be taking the allegations seriously and taking appropriate action. And so that brings us to today's chat. Now, I asked some fellow fans over on Twitter the question, what is it that they, as paying punters, want to see from promotions before they feel comfortable attending shows again? Outside of the coronavirus stuff, that's important to mention, because things like coronavirus testing and social distancing and all that kind of stuff, that's really important. But I want to separate it out, if I can, from this conversation today. It's still really important, don't get me wrong, I'm not discounting it, but just so that we can look at what we want from promotions in a post-COVID world. I hope that makes sense. Now, there was a real mix of replies on that tweet. Someone said that they didn't want to see anything, that they just trusted that the companies would put the correct things in the correct places. Others called for transparency. That was a big thing. I think that was something that was repeated. There was a repeated call for transparency on the side of promoters. People wanted to see clear codes of conduct, clear safeguarding policies. I know that what's been brilliant about the in-depth documentation that Progress have released, that a lot of people now feel comfortable going to Progress. But I think there's a bigger conversation to be had about, you know, Progress are a big business, so they've got staff, full-time staff, that are able to look at this and do this research and put together these documents. Now, I don't know, I guess we'll find out in practice, if there's any flaws in those documents or how those documents work in practice. What I will say is, it's brilliant to at least have that clarity. Lucy Cave over at Progress, she posted a really clear blog in which she highlighted what the problems were and what work they'd been doing to change things. And that's obviously absolutely brilliant. My concern is for the smaller promotions that don't have access to, maybe they don't have access to the, just even things like the time that would be required. And while that's not good enough, we need to make sure that people have got that, taken that time, which I think is why we've got a media blackout for the most part. The smaller promotions that can't afford to maybe implement things like, I don't know, safeguarding officers or whatever, I don't know. Now, I know that these matters are really complex, and that's why I wanted to discuss them really and just make sense of what those things mean. So to help me look into some of these further, I've invited Nona Marana onto the podcast today. Like me, they're a fan, but they also penned a really well-considered open letter to British Wrestling in which they called for fellow fans to hold promotions accountable. Nona has worked as a support worker aiding domestic abuse victims, and so is no stranger to terms like safeguarding, which at the moment feels like I know what it means, but I think there's a lot more sort of digging to do. So Nona, hello.
Hello. How's it going? You know, as well as can be expected.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I feel like I've spent more time in an angry rage than I have in any other part of my life. And I mean, I've worked with victims of domestic abuse and still not being quite as angry, but, you know.
Yeah, it's been a really tough time, obviously, for the victims of the abuse more than anything, but it, just yeah. As concerned fans, it's hard to ignore like the very real impact that this has had on what is, for a lot of us, one of our main sources of like joy and one of our main outlets for fun.
Yeah, like, it's hard, I think, when it hits so close to home. Mm. You know, when it's your form of entertainment, if it's your escapism, and then you find out that it's, for want of a better word, broken, it's quite difficult.
Now, I know that must have been what sparked you to write that open letter to British Wrestling in the first place, because of that passion and that desire to want better. And I know that in that you did call for fellow fans to start holding promoters accountable, holding businesses effectively accountable. And I wanted to ask you a little bit more about what do you mean by that? How do we hold promotions accountable?
A lot of it is about understanding the gravity of the situation. This is not, you know, this is serious. It's not kayfabe. It's not pretend. It's a serious issue. And there's a lot of people who are angry and are hurt. And those things need to be listened to. You know, they need to start putting their hands up and admitting where they had failings, essentially, to people's safety, where they haven't listened or haven't taken things seriously. You know, they need to start putting in the work to, you know, show there's a responsibility for their workers and, you know, their staff, their trainees, and even their fans with their safety. Because, you know, it's not good enough to just sort of say a few. I mean, we've seen some awful statements over the last few weeks, and some of the things that have been said. I saw somebody say something about virtue signalling. I've seen that prop up quite a few times. It's not about virtue signalling. It's about doing the right thing. And yes, companies are going to face criticism for right or wrong. But unfortunately, they've put themselves in disrepute.
Mm.
They've put themselves in a situation where they are going to be criticised because they haven't done basic things, you know?
Yeah, and any company, any business, like, you have to look at it like a business. While I know that there's a lot of, like, after parties where you might know the promoter and they might be friendly, like, no business is exempt from scrutiny, right?
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
There was a lot of talk about safeguarding, and that's kind of a conversation, that's a word that's been bandied around, I feel, quite a lot. So people will say, oh yeah, well, the safeguarding, almost like that means safe, making sure that people are safe. And I know that the Care Act defines that as protecting an adult's right to live in safety, free from abuse and neglect. But how does that realistically translate to a wrestling promotion? What in practice does that mean? Because that's, the theory's fine, but it's the link between the theory and the practice of it, right, that's important.
It comes down to, like, being empathetic and sensitive, first and foremost. I think that's something that a lot of places have failed. They fail to believe victims, and that in itself is a massive red flag. There's also been a lot of instances where confidentiality has been, there's been breaches of it, you know, discussing certain cases and those kinds of things. They can cause mistrial. They can also put the people mentioned at risk, you know, risk of harassment and stuff. And within sort of whistleblowing policies and stuff, you can't do that. You know, you're breaking that. But one of the other things that I wanted to raise is some statistics from the Home Office regarding false accusations in terms of the rates of rape or sexual assault. They showed that 4% are found or suspected to be false. And these figures can and have been inflated by other factors, such as police recording cases as no crime or unfounded. And a lot of the things that come out of that are the facts that attitudes need to change around what we see in terms of believing victims. It's not enough to say, well, I don't believe them because I like this person.
Yeah.
Or I don't believe them because they were wearing this, that or the other. It's not enough to be thinking that these excuses stand. If 4% of all reports, and that's only ones that are reported, I should add, because we know that this will not be every single person who has gone through this that will have reported it to the police. You know, these attitudes need to change. We need to start believing victims and understand, you know, there's accountability in not believing them. There's, you know, I'm sick of sort of seeing even threats towards victims to silence them in terms of taking legal proceedings, because we know, even just then, and you know, in the stats that I've read out, most of these crimes are literally signed off as, we can't do anything with them.
Yeah.
There's not enough evidence. There's, you know, there's not been a crime because someone may have retracted their report. You know, we need to stop doing that, because it's leaving those perpetrators open to commit more offences.
Yeah, because then there's a level of expectation. I mean, what I mentioned earlier about when I'd reached out to fans and asked them what they would want from their promoters, and it comes back to this holding people accountable part, but what are we going to expect? What do we expect? What should we expect from promotions?
There's lots of basics. Things like DBS checks. DBS checks are
they're quite fatally flawed, aren't they? I don't want to butt in when you set.
Oh yeah, there's a difficulty with DBS checks, because unless you are affiliated, you cannot get what is called an enhanced DBS. At the moment, anyone, literally anybody who is listening to this right now, can put in DBS check. They can go to their local authority website and they can get a basic DBS. Now, basic DBS covers you in terms of whether there are sort of any criminal records, but they don't cover you in terms of more serious crime, I guess. Like, I don't know how to describe that one, because it's about, you know, sort of child offences and stuff on top. It's about the other bits that actually are really important for promotions, trainers and so on. And it's something that does need to be addressed. It is something that, you know, companies, promotions, trainers, trainees, everybody, especially in the industry, needs to raise, because enhanced DBS, as I understand it as well, is only records from local authority, which means that it may not be something you can use if you are, say, a trainer that, you know, may be trained in one area of the country to then go to another completely separate local authority. You know, it's a bit of a minefield. Having a basic DBS, I think, shows some sort of jurisdiction in terms of responsibility, but it is still literally the bare minimum. You know, it's something that does need to be raised. You know, in terms of other things that I would expect, there to be safeguarding training to at least level one. With any sort of safeguarding, you do need to have a mix of people in terms of, you know, you need to have some people who are at the top of safeguarding and then others who, you know, are at least have some training. A lot of that comes down to the fact that you should always at least have two people who know what they're doing with safeguarding. It's a lot to do with the fact that if something is missed, you have somebody there to pick it up. You know, it is literally, it's bare minimum in protection. But also because if you end up with somebody, so usually if you have somebody at the top end of safeguarding, they would be safeguarding officer. And if they are in need of being reported for whatever, you need somebody else who can come in and take a report with, again, confidentiality in mind, and who is able to handle that report and investigate, you know, regardless of the safeguarding officer's position. I mean, realistically, you should always have two safeguarding officers, but I think it's quite an ask of some companies. You know, I completely understand in terms of finances and stuff, having one safeguarding, like leading safeguarding officer, and then having everybody else safeguarded trained, that kind of eliminates a lot of that issue. And to be fair, some people feel more comfortable talking to some, you know, to one person rather than other people. And when it comes to particularly sexual assault and those kind of reports, having somebody that they feel comfortable with is absolutely bottom line important. So, you know, everybody being safeguarding trained, it helps with that. It eliminates any discomfort necessarily that may come from only having some people in charge of that and then the rest getting on with it. Other stuff, I guess, first aiders training for staff, medics, it shows, absolute minimum. I think that goes without saying. There needs to be codes of conduct, disciplinary procedures, safeguarding procedures, and they need to be public.
Whistleblowing policies as well. You know, it's got to be that you can, if you have seen something awry in a locker room, you've got to be able to go and speak to the promoter about it without thinking, well, that promoter's really good friends with them and I'll never be able to work here again, I'll be blackballed, right? There needs to be something in place for that.
Then, you know, whistleblowing policies need to be there. I mean, the NSPCC do have a 5 questions for sports clubs, which is quite a good thing to take as reference. So one of the questions is, does the club have a safeguarding policy? And one of the recommendations that they have is that all policies are listed on the website for that club. You know, there's no excuses. The NSPCC are asking for it, they should be there, you know. One of the other ones is, who can I talk to? Again, safeguarding contact, those things need to be transparent with clubs. They need to make sure that they do outline who their staff are and what area that they are working in. I know that can change, particularly with things like crew and stuff. But again, you know, you just need to have your main staffing structure if that is the case, and your crew is just people who are at the training schools and so on and so forth. I'm more concerned about the staffing structure of day to day than I am of, you know, annual, periodic, you know, staff. But those staff as well actually should still have DBS checks. That's something I am going to throw in there. They should have them. There's no reason why they shouldn't. The third question is, what training is there? Obviously, that is a little bit difficult in professional wrestling. There isn't really qualifications, as I understand it, in professional wrestling. But experience in terms of, you know, how long they've been wrestling for, where even they were trained and who they were trained by. I know that might be a difficult thing because of speaking out. But as long as those people were working safely, I think that is the thing that I'm going to have to take from that. You know, and when I say safely, I mean things like not giving receipts and stiffing and that kind of stuff. You know, I'm talking in-ring safety. You know, the other stuff, I'm boot them in the sea, you know. The fourth question is, what happens if there's an accident? So again, first aiders, medics and so on. And then the fifth question is, have the staff been checked out? And it makes reference to things like recruitment and DBS checks. Going through a proper recruitment process, I know, can be very difficult in the performing industry, because, you know, it's very different. But there still should be one, even if it is just much more of a, we're just going to have a chat and we're going to go through our expectations and what we want from an individual, what we expect, even having some sort of specification of what that person's involvement is, which I think probably hasn't happened in some businesses, because, you know, again, money is tight, people are having to do lots of different things. But having a specification of what people do, again, it's accountability, it's transparency, it's making sure people can pinpoint to the right people, and companies can do that, you know, because they're not passing it around each other. They're saying, right, no, you're the person who's supposed to be dealing with this, sort that, you know. There's even been, I've heard rumours, again, it is rumours, but rumours of there not even being sign in and out records for training.
Yeah.
You know, even on a fire regulation level, that is shocking.
Terrifying.
There should always be a paper trail.
And that sort of brings up a bigger problem for me, because my 7-year-old nephew, who is absolutely completely crazy about wrestling now, which is a wonderful thing to behold, loves it at the moment. He won't even sit front row at a show because he's like scared that the real baddies will get him, which is just wonderful to see. But it makes me think, as he gets a little bit older, if he wants to go to training because he sees someone like Pete Dunne or someone from the city that he lives in going on and becoming this amazing superstar that's going to be in the Royal Rumble or whatever, it scares me that if he wanted to be a boxer, I could send him to a boxing school, and I know that there's going to be some overarching organisation that has made sure that that boxing school is safe. I can check on their website. Yeah. There'll probably be some kind of tick or logo or accreditation, and I can have peace of mind.
Yeah, martial arts code.
Exactly, the martial arts code. Yeah. So it means that I don't have to sit there and think about all of these things that we're talking about today, because realistically, it would be nice if, as fans, we aren't the ones that have to hold promotions accountable. And that raises that big issue, like you said, about the martial arts code, because if that code already exists in the world, why isn't wrestling under that? Why doesn't wrestling fall under that? So that I can see a tick and go, flipping out, that's fine then. I don't have to worry about these things.
Yeah.
From what I understand. Sorry, mate, go on.
It's one of those where I think a lot of people don't really understand that this is going to be a multi-agency sort of involvement to not, I want to say fix, but that probably isn't the right word, because I don't think it is something that will be sort of fixed straight away. And I think that's something that does need to be said. You know, there's always going to be something that potentially will have been overlooked, because you don't want to believe that people would do XYZ of things and yet they still surprise you with something else that's shitty, abusive and horrible, and you are literally back at having to see where that went wrong. So as much as I want all of these things, and I think they need to be there and fans should feel the same, there does need to be an understanding that abusers will manipulate as much as they can to make those rules fit and make themselves back in, you know, get themselves back through the door. And so we need to just be wary of that and understand that. You know, in terms of the martial arts code, the MAC, they would be a perfect building block for at least the start of a conversation around safeguarding, because they are the safeguarding agency for contact sport. They are multi-agency. They have like the NSPCC and Craft Trust. There's so many on there. There was like a Educare, I think they're called, are also on there. There's about six different agencies. So we'd be fooling ourselves if we thought this was, you know, just something that could just be implemented overnight. A bunch of people ran it, done. It isn't. It has to be multi-agency involvement, and things are going to have to overlap. You know, there's the chance of people like Equity having to come in and have discussions to sort of look at protecting performers, because I think the MAC are perfect for training schools, but they wouldn't be perfect for shows, because what their expectations are for safeguarding within training facilities as opposed to, you know, performance, which is where Equity maybe fit part of it. But again, like, because they're a union, they're not a business, they're a union. They protect performers, they help them with legal assistance and advice. You know, they are there to make sure that the performer is protected as much as possible, you know, from being stiffed out of contracts and those kinds of things. But, you know, the collaboration does need to come from all promotions. You know, this whole rivalry thing that seems to crop up every now and again with promotions just needs to be dropped. I'm sorry if I sound crass, but I really don't give a shit about what you think of other promotions. This is not about your hard feelings anymore.
No.
There are people who have been... it is hard to speak out about these kinds of things. It can be humiliating. It can be, you know, I don't know, traumatizing. It can be really difficult. People aren't always that forgiving. You know, like I said, you will find that people just completely disbelieve what is being said. Yeah, I mean, it's just, it's in the interest of the industry, I think, for everyone to be on the same page. Like, screw whatever your problems are. Worry about the fact that if this isn't fixed, you will not have a business to work with anymore. You know? Because the industry will be gone.
And from what I understand it, there is, well, I say from what I understand it, from the research that I have done... there is a all-party parliamentary group for wrestling that's been set up. That's Alex Davis-Jones. I believe Alex is a Labour MP. We've got Mark Fletcher, Tory. And then Danny Stone, Paul Burstow. There's an organisation being set up, which hopefully will, almost like defragging a computer, will take all of these various parts and somehow help funnel them into everyone moving in the same direction. Because I think that's a really important thing to point out at this stage, is obviously people are angry. They see their friends and people they know, and in some cases, they have been hurt by what has been happening within wrestling. And I know that what we want, what I would love, is for a big boss of wrestling with a big bag of money and loads of safeguarding qualifications to come along and fix this. But the fact remains that there is no overarching boss of wrestling, right? There's no overarching wrestling organisation that we can rely on to do this job, which I guess is why I wanted to have this conversation in the first place, because in a lot of situations with wrestling, what fans want is often put on the back burner. But in this instance, unless we stand up and go, this is what we want, and we're not going to settle for anything less, nothing will be done, right? Because someone's got to do something, which I think is why it just feels so frustrating. And a lot of days it can feel fruitless, or it can feel like no one's doing anything. And I can appreciate that people might sit there and see silence coming from their favourite promotion or from their favourite wrestler. But we've just got to hope and encourage our favourites, you know, our favourite promotions, wrestlers, whatever, to come together, to be on the same page. And I know how daft that might sound to somebody that might
it doesn't it to, I don't think it does.
Everybody come together and work together and we'll make really good things happen. I appreciate that it might sound stupid, but in a situation where no one's the boss of wrestling, there's no overarching council, it's all we can hope for, isn't it?
I think sometimes people need to realize that silence has many meanings. Like, I think a lot of people seem to see it as a negative. And in some instances, you know what? Yeah, you're absolutely right. I think it probably is. But I think in others, I think it's because they just don't know what standpoint to take. I think that is because, and I'm going to say it's because they're men. And that's not to say that men haven't come forward in this, because of course they have. But the names, the majority of names are men, and knowing that you are in a position where you are not one of the people that has been affected, you are not one of, you know, it's hard because there is going to have to be a line drawn at some point when it comes to what we see in terms of acceptable with what talent may or may not have known or seen. There are questions we are gonna have to ask, and when I say we, I don't even know if that is something necessarily that should come from fans. It's questions that we probably need to ask ourselves, and this is true of talent and promotions, in terms of involvement. For fans, we need to ask ourselves how we pedestal talent. You know, talent that we really like may have been adding to the toxic environment, and we're gonna have to accept that. You know, it doesn't mean that they're predators or abusers. It just means that they may have just not been that nice backstage, and added to it, made it acceptable. And we're gonna have to make sure that we address that, that we address that with ourselves, that other people address that, and we better it, you know.
And I think, you know, from asking people just over on Twitter, I mean, when I asked fellow fans, a lot of whom are men, because that's how wrestling goes, and a lot of them had really well-considered, well-thought-out responses as to what they're going to demand of their local promotion in order to feel comfortable going there again. And I appreciate that, because some people have huge lists, really high expectations, and I think that's brilliant. I think that's right for them. And for other people for whom they don't want to see your code of conduct, they just trust that you'll do it.
Yeah.
I think that everyone's personal approach to it is valid, right?
Yeah.
And that's why I think it was important to even bring it up. For the people that say, I just trust that wrestling promotions will just do it. We kind of had a responsibility, I guess, to go, yeah, but do you know the breadth of these issues?
Yeah.
Do you know that a lot of the time they're promoters who don't know these things, that need educating themselves?
Yeah.
And I think that's why I wanted to bring it up, because I think when wrestling starts again, which I'm really hopeful as a fan it will happen, I know that what I personally will be asking for, which will be just whack your flipping code of conduct. Whack your code of conduct up on the website. Let me know that you're doing something safeguarding in a way that's not like, oh yeah, just so you know, we have got a safeguarding policy. And then nothing. It's like, I'm going to need to know what that is for me to spend my money at that promotion. Asking you, considering everything we've been speaking about, what do you personally want to see from promotions going forward? Because realistically, the likelihood of any promotions coming out and ticking every box that we've discussed here today is slim. So do we have, I mean, we're going to have to just, I don't know, adjust our, what do we need to do? I don't know, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean, it is worth remembering that it's going to be different for everyone. Everyone has a different expectation. It's why I brought up in terms of silence, because I know a lot of people, you know, when I spoke about men, I was referring to like male talent, you know, male led promotions, because, you know, we're looking to them for answers. That's what we're doing. But it's difficult because not everyone knows what to do, what the expectation should be. And one of the things that I do feel is that because of that, we shouldn't begrudge fans or talent if they work for a company that has done the work. It's one of those where I think I know that we're going to get that. Again, it comes down to this whole rivalry thing that I don't understand. I really don't. But I personally will not be holding it against anybody who wants to go, you know, to shows, and particularly more so if they are from companies that have, you know, put publicly their work out. You know, it's so hard because I do understand, again, why companies don't feel comfortable with that. Wrestling fans can be absolutely brutal. You know, I love them, but they are brutal. And there's elements of that that I think have jaded the relationship, because a lot of it will be really trivial stuff that promotions will have just got sick of, you know, in terms of storylines and championships and stuff that realistically doesn't matter. You know, if you're a business and you can't take that, you probably shouldn't be doing it. But when it comes to criticisms about the work that is there, the policies, the way that things are being handled, it would be foolish to not listen, because they are the people that, if they look at it and decide it isn't good enough, they're not going to pay. They're not going to come to your training schools. They're not going to come to your shows. They're going to be incredibly suspicious of anything you do afterwards. You set a bar for yourself with the first thing. A lot of people don't realise social media is an incredible tool when it comes to things like PR and media. It is something that you can use straight off the bat to be able to make statements. Any statement that has come out, like, you have set a bar for yourself with anything that you've put out into the public. And if that bar was so low, they're not going to be interested in anything that you do in terms of going higher, which is again why sometimes the silence is the best option. You don't, in these instances, there isn't an answer in terms of, you know, in terms of having to give statements until you've got the work there. I've seen some pretty knee-jerking ones. I mean, I've touched upon it already, and I know I know it is so likely they came from a place of where they felt like they were doing the absolute best. And it would have come from a place of naivety, probably, because this is that it is a difficult subject. If you've not dealt with it before, it's an incredible difficult thing. But again, like, you kind of set yourself then a bar of criticism.
And it is an ongoing piece of work, I think. So if a promotion comes out with a bunch of documents, it's then to look at what other promotions... I mean, ideally, somebody will come out with a set of documents so tight that other promotions are like, for want of a better term, ripping it off, and then that's perfectly acceptable. I would hope that if a promotion gets copied, thank God, exactly. Yeah. I'd hope that no one's going to be like, this is our code of conduct, you can't copy it. It's like, yeah. No,
everyone should have it.
Ask people to copy it if you think it's good. And then have that conversation, hash it out, have it change. If someone brings something up that you haven't thought about, go flipping out, yeah? We've changed our code of conduct because we want to include this now. And the code of conduct might be different for different promotions, depending on whether they're a family show that has in-ring photo opportunities with Taz. Taz is big time now. Taz ain't doing that stuff. But with some form I'd love to meet Taz, by the way. with some other former talent, you know, they've brought somebody over, and there might be different codes of conduct for different promotions. But I guess that's what comes back to the whole, we need to work together and have a great old time.
it's true. Like, you can't, it's literally, it feels so ridiculous that there is a competition right now going on amongst promotions to try and be the best at stopping sexual assault. Like, let that sink in. And it is awful. Like, you know, if you are competing to be, well, look at all of this that we've done, rather than actually being like, do you know what? This is our industry. This is our house. We've let the rats infest it. We should probably clean it up now together.
Yeah.
You know.
The reason why I wanted you on here to chat to about this is because I'm really hoping that it will spark that conversation for people to have with their friends. So that mate that you do go to the shows with every month or whatever, and you open these conversations. And I think it's on, I mean, I would say this always about being kind to each other, but I think when other people share on social media or wherever, or in those conversations that you have, what they're willing to put up with. So if somebody says, I just want to see a code of conduct, I don't really care if there's going to be a person there to do safeguarding, you can't then shame them and go, well, you're just contributing to abuse because you're not backing the idea of having someone there for safeguarding. It's like, people are just trying their best for the most part, aren't they? And it is for promotions and people in a position of influence to build such a foundation. So that's what you said, I know, in your open letter, when you said, we need to hold promotions accountable, but they also need to take accountability, right?
Yeah. I think it's one of those where it's a learning curve as well with fans who are, you know, have that feeling. They maybe just don't understand in the same way that companies are now struggling in some cases. You know, it's educating. I believe in constructive rather than destructive dialogue, you know, because I think being constructive is what we need to be now.
Definitely.
You know, it's one of those where if companies cannot take these types of criticisms and build from them, then their loyalties were never with fans or even talent. You know, I have a genuine fear that talent will, you know, they'll lose shows, they'll lose paydays for saying, you know, for having to make reports, for having to speak out. And that's where, as fans, we need to make sure that we are there to kind of go, what are you doing? You know, that's not right. You know, we need to make sure that the environments are safe for the workers. But over everything, and I think this is like the biggest sort of headline of all of it, we need to be doing this for victims. It's not for the companies to come up with all of this stuff, you know, it's that whole rivalry competition thing. This is some, the reason we all need to come together is because of victims, like, bottom line, you know.
Yeah,
that's it.
Yeah, we've got to believe them, we've got to support them.
Yeah,
I think that noise is going to need to be made, because I from my understanding, and I'd want to be correct if I'm wrong, but with things like the martial arts code, I understand that they I'll add, so editing buzzers, this is your opportunity to speak if you've got any further information on this. But as current buzzers, my understanding is that there's a block with Sport England where they don't want to take on wrestling. And I think if we want them to, we need to kick off about it. We need to flipping kick off about it, right? Because we're being expected with, like I mentioned, this big flipping wrestling person with a big bag of money and all this expertise doesn't exist. We're being expected as a community where no one's really qualified to do this because the qualification doesn't exist, to try and reinvent the wheel, where in a lot of cases that wheel already exists and we just need to push to be given access to it. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. So, the MAC have wanted professional wrestling. Okay. They believe it fits the criteria.
Okay.
Sports England keep saying no, and a lot of that comes down to, I think, partly credibility. Not everyone takes wrestling seriously. That's
that doesn't
a personal
mean it doesn't
opinion.
Exist, guys. That doesn't mean it doesn't exist. It doesn't mean that there aren't victims sitting at home suffering because of the pop. Like, that's what scares me the most, is that as wrestling has become more and more popular, as more and more people have started to go to shows, as we see people on TV succeeding, more and more young people are seeing that and want that success, and so should they. So they should be able to go to training schools. Oh, I could cry.
Wrestling has been on our national terrestrial televisions, even last year. I mean, everyone has to have Freeview now, digital boxes. It's even on there. Like, wrestling is available, but it was even on ITV.
Yeah. I was interested to see Andy Quilden from RevPro talking, again, on that aforementioned podcast. He spoke about the big piece of work he had to do to legitimise wrestling to the Home Office, I think it was, in order to get visas for wrestlers.
Yeah.
And he was saying that he had to write out this... Like, I mean, he did then go on to say that he wouldn't, because somebody suggested that he publishes it so that everyone could have a read of it because it sounds really interesting. And he said no, because he didn't want other promotions. I think he was semi-joking, but he didn't want other promotions to see it and be able to use it, which, I mean, let's leave that where it is. But I thought it was a really important point that there was a piece of work involved in getting the Home Office to understand the legitimacy of wrestling. Because I think Andy had said that he'd had to write about it right from, like, travelling circus times or something, I don't know. He was talking about, like, he had to really go back in time to show how wrestling was legitimate. And it just seems completely bananas to me that if we can get the Home Office to go, oh, okay, yeah, I get it. We can't get Sports England to go, oh, okay, I get it. It just flipping bamboozles me. Is there anything else that you feel like it's important that we cover? I mean, there's loads to talk about and we could go on for 4.5 hours, but I'm suggesting that we don't do that just now. But I think it's something that people do need to have discussions with their pals about, right? And use this time while wrestling is... I mean, it's all right, people going, yeah, well... We're going to put things on hold for now. It's coronavirus, of course you're going to put things on hold.
You've got all the time right now to be doing it. You know, we're in the middle of a pandemic. You know, there's no excuses. You know, we're in the middle of a pandemic. You've had 5 weeks. You know, where are the receipts is basically where I'm at with it. You know, I want to see personally... I want to be able to see on websites. You don't have to send them to me. I'm not, when I say personally, I mean in my own opinion. You know, I want to see. I want to be able to see, like, policies. I want to see codes of conduct. You know, I don't want to see distraction and deflection anymore. Like, that's done. I'm sick of it. You know, I don't want to see it. You know, I want to see companies cleaning their own houses as best they can. You know, and when I say as best they can, if you have had reports, even previous to now, those reports need to be taken seriously. I don't want to hear, going forward, any reports we get will be under these grievance procedures and policies and whatever bullshit you think is going to make people feel better. No, I don't care. People don't change overnight. You know, the rehabilitation is possible, but if you're turning and saying to me, you know, I'll give an example. If Jimmy Savile was rehabilitated, would I feel comfortable with him around my kids? No, he's a paedophile. Mm. You don't take him back there. He doesn't get the incentive of a door being left open. You know, I want to see these people taking it seriously. And even it's going to be hard because in some cases it's going to be their mates, them understanding that it's not acceptable. You know, it's just not acceptable. You know, all of the reports need to be taken seriously. All of them need to be investigated properly. But they also need to be investigated properly with the care and the attention that they deserve. You know, these people, these victims deserve that. They deserve to have protection now where they weren't given it before. They deserve dignity now where they didn't have it before. You know, if there's one thing that I do off of this, it's that make sure that all of those victims out there understand that I believe them and that I've got them and that I'm going to be like that video of the hen with all of its chicks under its wing. That's going to be me. I am the umbrella protecting them. They don't need to worry about it because I've got it. And I will keep shouting about it until it's heard and I'm not just, you know, seen as a bit of a pain. And the same with other fans, because I know there's other fans doing exactly the same thing. And we shouldn't be discredited as, you know, being, I don't know, annoying and opinionated. We're telling you from experience, these are the things. I'm going to keep banging on that door, basically.
Good.
It's simple.
We need it. We need it. And we need everyone. I mean, I'm not telling everyone what they should do, what their standards should be.
No.
What they should want. But what I will say, particularly from a personal perspective, we've got to believe victims, even when it hurt. Like, I can tell you from experience that there's had to be, we've got to believe victims, even when it means that we lose people that we love, even when it means speaking to people that we feel so close to and saying this is unacceptable. Like, we've got to believe victims, because how I feel about it personally is I would rather believe a victim and somehow be proved wrong than stand by an abuser and be proved wrong. I can't live like that as a woman, as a human. I can't live like that. So that's my stance on it. Whatever your stance is on it, we've got to, you know, not you, Nona, I know what your stance is on it because we just had a big chat about it, but the listeners, whatever your stance on it is, I'll respect you. But what I will say is, for the good of the people that follow you on social media, for the good of the women in your life, if someone speaks out and you don't believe them, sort of shut your mouth on that. Because if you speak up and say, no, this person is a liar, then everyone around you that loves you and feels like they can rely on you, should, God forbid, something happen, they might think, I can't tell them because there's a chance that they won't believe me. And who wants to live with that? Who wants to live with that guilt and pain? No one. Just believe victims. If you don't believe victims, just shut up about it. You've got to stop. You've got to stop. Just please. That's all I'm saying on that. And with that, no, I think I'm going to wrap things up. I'm so grateful I can tell that you've put time and consideration and thought and research into coming and speaking to me today, and that just means such a lot to me. The open letter that you wrote, I'm hoping that you'll tell people your Twitter handle so they can come, they can follow you and see those messages that you're spreading, because I think it's really important. So how can people find you?
They can find me at Nona Marana, so NonaMirana. That's where they can find me.
Last week when I did the handover with Matt Richards, and they said, so where can people find you? I said, Bozzers, but also there's an area where I don't know what came over me. I'm a 33-year-old adult woman, but there we go. That's just one of those, isn't it? Not everyone's always on podcasts. This is new to a lot of us. So.
I know. Yeah. This is my first time. It's very, very strange.
We didn't know each other until we started singing off the same hymn sheet with this, right? We've not been lifelong friends. We've sort of connected to one another as a result of having these sort of like shared hopes for the future. And you know, all I ask is that as listeners, you just take some time to just listen and
themselves at the end of this, you know. If anything has been difficult to listen to, please go and, you know, have some self-care, you know, stay hydrated, watch some animal videos, eat a donut, anything that makes you feel safe, reach out to people.
Everyone keeps telling me to watch Hamilton.
I can't believe that you haven't. Like, I keep singing it randomly around the house. I just, you know, I'll be doing something and then it'll just suddenly come out. I can't help myself. It's brilliant.
I need to get on that Disney Plus hype.
Hamilton for self-care.
With that... Yeah, maybe that could be part of my afternoon self-care. Regarding this podcast going forward, Choose Not Your... I can't wait to show you all of the cool shit that we've got coming up. I say we, I mean me. But I'm so reliant on pals and contributors and friends and you guys over on Twitter and on social media to help me with making this what I want it to be. What I'm going to do is give this podcast a few weeks. I want to let it breathe. I want to give you time to chat to your friends. I want to take some time to take stock of what's happening in the industry, see what's going to happen going forward with promotions. Stay tuned, give me a follow, or you can send me an email. That's Kirsty, Kirsty, at bozzers.co.uk, or just tweet, use the hashtag TuesdayNotJaw, get involved. Your opinion really matters to me. I'll see you in a couple of weeks. It's going to be good. I flipping promise you, you're not going to believe what I've got coming up. All right. Bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.